Hello and welcome to the Cloud Solution Architect podcast, where we talk to Azure architects from across the globe and discuss interesting and creative Azure solutions. This is your host, Anand Kumar. I work as a Cloud Solution Architect for Microsoft in the New York City region. For more Cloud Solution Architect podcast episodes, animated Azure videos, and simplified how-to content articles on Azure, please check out www.azuremonk.com. That's www.azuremonk.com.
In this episode, we talk with Sarah Lean, also known as Techie Lass. She's a STEM ambassador, founder of the Glasgow Azure Group. She has been a cloud solution architect and now she works as a cloud advocate for Microsoft. In this episode, we talk about how Sarah influenced Azure Migrate and its features, and how she bridges the gap between the customers and the product engineering teams, and how she keeps herself up to date with everything that's happening in the cloud world. Without further ado, let's get to the show. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this opportunity to speak to you today.
Super excited as well. Sarah, I know you've been a cloud solution architect at Microsoft. You're a STEM ambassador for the next generation, and you're a founder of the Glasgow Azure Group, and now you work as a cloud advocate, right? Mm-hmm. So can you walk us through your journey in Azure, and your current role as a cloud advocate sounds really, really cool. So what do you do, and what are the roles and responsibilities?
Yep. So I joined Microsoft about 2 years ago as a cloud solution architect, and I recently transitioned to the cloud advocate role. So I think I've been in that role for just over a month, maybe 2 months now. And the cloud advocate role is really about evangelizing the Microsoft technologies, specifically Azure. And my role is evangelizing specifically to the IT pro audience and trying to encourage them to utilize the products. So that's part of my role. Another part of my role is taking the feedback that I get from customers or audiences at events, feeding it back into our engineering teams, and then either helping them turn that into a solution or create documentation, basically closing that loop if there's any holes in our products or our documentation, and just filling them up and making it so that our customers can be empowered through our documentation and our services much more than they already are. It's a super cool role. I'm still trying to figure out some of how to do that and how to juggle some of my responsibilities, but I really am loving it. And it's allowing me to do something that's now a passion, and that's talking to people and sharing my knowledge as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a super cool role. When I looked at the role of cloud advocate, that's very nice. And you also mentioned that your role currently involves, you know, having to evangelize the product and also making sure if there's any gaps in the, you know, product itself, you communicate back to the product team and close the loop, right?
Yep.
So from on that perspective, and because you've also worked as a cloud solution architect, so you've been in the field and now you're the interface between product group. So is there a particular Azure solution that you've worked on which you're really proud about and has solved a business problem?
Oh, that's a tricky one. When I was a field role engineer, I concentrated on data center migration. So I worked really closely with the Azure Migrate product team in helping to understand how our customers were trying to use the product and then feedback to our customers how they should be using the product. And I think hopefully some of my feedback during that has made it into its way into the product team's thoughts and roadmap and just general direction of what they're taking that with. So it's pretty cool to see all of that and see where that team is actually taking that product. So that's probably my favorite one and probably the one I'll be trying to influence most if I can.
Got it. Awesome. And you did mention that you're particularly, you know, you're focused on data center migration and, you know, Azure Migrate is one of the product teams that you work closely, right? And is there a particular, you know, customer or use case where you had Azure Migrate, and is there any learnings from that particular migration that you had, and, you know, any feedback that you communicated back and which is inculcated right now in the product itself? So can you think of?
Yeah, so one of the kind of common asks from a lot of our customers, to be honest, was the ability to take like a spreadsheet of what they had, you know, their servers with a list of names, IP addresses, the configuration, and then turn that into a pricing spreadsheet, you know, show them what, if they took their on-prem environment, what it would look like in Azure. And at Ignite this year in November, earlier in the month, the product team announced that that's now a feature that we have. So people can take that CSV file, I think it is, inject it into Azure Migrate, and then 10, 15 minutes later, they get a kind of cost analysis back out of it. So I'm really excited about that feature because that is something that every customer I went to probably asked about, because that's how they keep a note of their servers. That's their CMDB for a lot of our customers.
Awesome. That's really cool. I mean, so what you're saying is right now we don't really have to install the agent, or all we need is a CSV file and it can be uploaded onto Azure Migrate and it's going to print out an estimated cost. Is that right? And it's already available. That's
really cool. It's in preview. So you can go and use it now. So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to install our appliance, any of our agents. You know, you could run a PowerShell script against your Active Directory and pull out stuff like that. And you can ingest it in Azure Migrate and get some feedback back from it.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. So Sarah, you are also a STEM ambassador, right, for the next generation. So you're mentoring people, you know, on like the technology side. So if anybody came to you for tips and tricks on how do you get started as an Azure architect, do you have any, you know, advice for new Azure architects?
To be honest, I'd start with our learning platform, our free learning platform, which is Microsoft Learn. It's a great entity for learning because it's free and it has different abilities to break into it. So you can dive in if you've got 10 minutes spare during your lunch break and dive into a module and complete that module. Or if you have more time available, you can dive into one of our learning paths and actually spend some time working through the modules that may be an hour or 2 hours or whatever in length and work through that. And a lot of our learning paths are dedicated to our certifications. So they help you work towards getting, say, the AZ 900 fundamentals exam. So there's lots of content, and I know from discussions within my team in the back that there's more learning paths on the way, and we're trying to add to any of the gaps that we have in the Learn platform. So that's a great way for, you know, learning if that's the medium that you love learning from. But I'd also say if you're looking to move into the Azure space and already in IT, go out and find your local user group. There's lots of user groups now. When I first started the Glasgow Azure user group 3 years ago, I think it was now, there wasn't a lot of user groups out there, but now it's totally exploded. There's hundreds out there, and there should be one local to you. So go and meet the people that are working with Azure. Go and listen to what they're saying. Often you might struggle with some of the presentations if you're new to Azure, but you're still going to learn. You're still going to start to get familiar with the terminology, and you're going to meet people that can help you on that journey forward.
Awesome. And for the listeners listening, like Sarah mentioned, there's a lot of user groups available right now in Azure. And if you're in the New York City region, I and my teammates, Cloud Solution Architects, host a local user group in WeWork. So we'd love to, you know, host you there. And to your point, I think the medium of learning is different, right? So if you want to have a self-paced learning, Microsoft Learn is an excellent resource to learn. And once we want to have an exchange of ideas and get solving on a practical, you know, business problem, I think coming into a user group is going to be really, really helpful. That's awesome. So Sarah, you mentioned that, you know, you are in charge of attending events, conferences. So what is your hack, or what's your technique to keep yourself up to date with all the new technology and update that's happening around? I know you have to, you know, sort of listen in on the field and then communicate back to the product team. And at the same time, you also have to be abreast with all the changes that's happening in the product. So what's your technique, or what's your, you know, hack to keep yourself up to date with?
So I actually use Twitter, and I know that sounds a bit strange, but a lot of the people I follow are working in the Azure space. So I listen to what they're talking about. I see what they're blogging about and keep up to date with that, because ultimately, that's our customers, our community, and what they are talking about is the announcements I need to learn about, I think. There's so many services, there's hundreds and hundreds of services in Azure, and there's no way that I could be able to keep up to date with everyone. So I like to focus on what the community is talking about. Are they talking about, and I think today, I recently saw something on Azure, Twitter about, we've added some functionality for SQL backups and Azure backup. Now I need to delve into more about that, but that's a tweet that I saw several times on my timeline. So it's obviously something popular. It's obviously something that our community and customers are interested in. So things like that, that's where I pick up what I need to learn about and what I need to read about, because otherwise I'd probably drown and never be able to go to events just learning about the new stuff that we're releasing.
Absolutely. Awesome. And I think you also have a YouTube channel wherein you put in your weekly updates as a video, if I'm not wrong. Is that right?
Yeah, so I started my kind of YouTube channel because I wanted to get more familiar with doing videos and talking in front of a camera, and also figuring out how to do all that post editing stuff and figure out all of that, because that's something that in my new role I'm going to have to be more familiar with. So my YouTube channel is a weekly video, and I like to share stuff that I've been doing during the week, about my role, about community events. I try and share news as well that I've picked up and learned about during the week, but it's really just an informal chat where, you know, I've got a coffee and hopefully the audience have a coffee as well, and they're just enjoying the content that I'm doing and learning a bit more about me and the things that I'm doing and how they can utilize some of the stuff that I'm doing in their own life. So yeah.
Right. No, that's a great way to keep, you know, that sort of pushes us to also keep us up to date, and to your point, you know, helps, you know, improving our skills as well. That's really cool. So what does a good day and a bad day look like for you, Sarah, on your role, in the current role? What is a good day and a bad day?
I think I'm really enjoying most of my days are good days. probably a bad day was Tuesday. So I had to go down to London this week from Scotland, and my plane was delayed because of bad weather. And then when I got to London, I had a broken down tube on the line I was trying to utilise. So although that sounds fairly trivial, and it is in the grand scheme of things, it kind of knocked out all my day and I lost some productivity because I was stuck on a plane, I was stuck on a tube, and that was a bad day. So there's a lot of travel in my role. So when the travel goes wrong, that's a bad day.
Absolutely.
that really kind of screwed up my, you know, to-do list and my deadlines. So yeah, I'll probably have to work late at some point, probably today, to try and catch up on that, unfortunately. But yeah, a good day is just probably hearing people have enjoyed my content, to be honest. The stuff that I create, the effort I put into creating blogs and videos and things like this, the podcast and my presentations, if someone comments and says they really enjoyed it or found it useful, that's a good day for me. That's where I think I get my biggest kind of win and tick happiness.
Awesome. That's really cool. And you know, you from an online presence perspective, Sarah, so people can find you online if I just Google Sarah Lean, but is there a preferred method that you would prefer if people wanted to get in touch with you?
I'm probably going to say Twitter, because I'm always on that and I have it on my phone and the notifications are turned on. My direct messages also open, so you can ping me if you have a question directly and you don't want to ask it on my timeline. I'm always on Twitter, even on my days off, even on my holidays. So if you need to get a hold of me, that's probably the best way to do it.
Awesome, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.